Welcome to SEC Sports Roundtable, episode 159, The State of Mississippi, recorded Thursday, August 30th, 2015. Some media members have these teams towards the bottom of the SEC West. Listen as Shane Bailey is joined by Cole Hodges and Blair Smiley to discuss the Ole Miss Rebels and the Mississippi State Bulldogs and what they bring to the field this year. Is it cellar dwelling? Or do Cole and Blair feel that they are not being respected and have a chance to battle for the top spot in the West again this year? All this and more on tonight's SEC SRT. Welcome to SEC Sports Roundtable. This is your host, Shane Bailey. We are, as the title of this podcast states, looking at the state of Mississippi, and that can be taken more than one way. So joining me tonight, we've got Blair Smiley. Welcome, Blair.
Good to be back, Shane.
And, you know, for his annual once a year podcast for Ole Miss, Cole Hodges. Welcome back, Cole.
Thanks, Shane. Appreciate it, guys.
I know schedules get hard. I know you'd like to be on more, so I got to give you a hard time.
I definitely love to be on more.
I got to give you a hard time when I can. So we are on the downhill slide. You know, we are recording this Sunday, so we're 4 days away from actual football taking place on the field. So all of this guesswork that we have been doing for the last, you know, month or so, and everyone else, it's all for naught. The games start to happen, and we have real data to then digest and dissect and overanalyze. So at least we'll have something real to overanalyze after Thursday and going forward with that. But, you know, we do this every year. This is our fourth year of doing our previews. So we are happy to continue that trend. It's probably one of the funnest things for us because it really lets you know that football is right there. You know, as we end up finishing up right before the season winds down as far as the preseason and the games start, it's a great way for us to get excited about it, and we hope you are too. So we will look at the West tonight. We're going to stay both sides of the two parts of the podcast are going to stay in the West, and we'll cover the Mississippi schools. We'll cover Ole Miss as well as Mississippi State. And so we'll get right into things, and Cole, we'll look at Ole Miss first. From a fan's perspective, what are you most hopeful about? I guess is a good thing to say to start us off with.
Well, hopeful, you know, hopeful that the recruiting class from a couple years ago, obviously, you know, lives up to their billing. They obviously have the last 2 years. You know, most people around the country know a little bit about Ole Miss, obviously about the recruiting class from a couple years ago, including Robert Kimdichie and Laquan Treadwell and Tunsil. But also they know that this is probably their last fall in Oxford. I think most Ole Miss fans realize that that's pretty much for certain thing. So, you know, what can we accomplish while they're still on campus? And also, can we find a quarterback or decide on a quarterback that can help lead this team? You know, continue what we did last year and maybe do a couple special things. So hopeful we continue to compete, you know, win a couple more games, win a couple of the closer ones. Last year, the LSU game, the Auburn game, you know, come to mind, games that were very close towards the end, and the team just could not, you know, get over that hump. Obviously, everybody knows what happened at the end of the Auburn game with Laquan getting hurt, going across the goal line, and being out for the rest of the season. But, you know, we still had a chance after he got hurt, got the ball back, had a couple chances at the end zone. So, you know, those things and finishing out a season being very would be nice. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you know, get bowl victories in two of the last 3 years. But obviously every Ole Miss fan was, you know, a little shocked, very, very disappointed in the bowl outcome last year. Chick-fil-A Bowl, the loss to TCU. I don't even think the Ole Miss team made the trip. Pretty sure that it was But, you know, give credit to TCU. Great team, great defensive performance for them, offensive performance for them. But I think that our team is hungry not to let that happen again. And as a fan, you got to be hopeful that that's the case. And this year's not a letdown.
Yeah, that was – I mean, you talk about Treadwell's injury at the end of that – towards the end of that game, and that was just a horrific-looking injury. How's he healing? How's he looking in camp? I mean, is he missing a beat? Is he back to his old self? I mean, something like that.
Well, they said
– I mean, it's not a knee, but you still think you're going to be ginger on it, and it's now going to be more mental than physical at this point.
I definitely think that your last comment's exactly the way to go. I mean, it's a mental thing. How's he going to respond when he's going against people that are in a different jersey, that are playing to try to tackle him and, you know, aren't being cautious when they tackle him, so to speak. You know, he is going through contact in fall camp, obviously, according to wide receivers coach Grant Hurd. You know, and also, you know, Hugh Freeze, he looks stronger, faster, you know, better with his routes. You know, he's come back better than before. But before, you know, you can say that in the spring, you can say that during rehab, you know, and on Instagram and everything else that he's putting videos out on. And I have full, you know, full confidence that he really does feel that way. But you really don't know until he gets on the field what it looks like against live competition. So it'll be interesting. It will be interesting. I think that first game of the year, UT Martin, you know, we have two games at the beginning of the year, UT Martin and then Fresno State. We have the – I almost hesitate to say as an Ole Miss fan, you know, not so long ago Jacksonville State came in and beat us. But, you know, you would think that we have two surefire, you know, chances to, you know, warm up before a big Bama game. So I think these first two games, they're definitely going to be feeding Laquan the ball, trying to get him comfortable, you know, comfortable on the field. And we'll see what happens.
Well, you say feeding him the ball. Who's that going to be?
Well, we got three people. I think all three of them, I think all three of them are going to see the field in the first two games. I think that the starter game one, unless – you know, he hasn't named a starter. He's going to name a starter this week, obviously. There's going to be a number one quarterback to start the game. But he's gone on record saying every one of them is going to play. And they may all play until, you know, game one and game two. He wants to name somebody for sure by game three, have that settled before he goes to Bama. I think the starter this week, if you just had to guess, would be Chad Kelly. You know, with his past, obviously, everybody knows the past about going to Clemson, you know, getting kicked off the team, going to junior college, being a, JUCO All-American, you know. But then as soon as he signs with Ole Miss, gets in some trouble at a nightclub and, you know, has to talk his way into getting to stay. But for everything that you read and everything Free says, he's done everything that's been asked of him. He's been in the weight room. He's been on the practice field. He's been going to class. Got straight A's in the classroom, which you can say whatever you want to about that in summer school, but it still was straight A's, and you know he's doing everything he's supposed to do. I think he'll get the nod in game one. I think Buchanan and he are very close right now with Devontae Kincaid being the number three, but I think all three of them will see the field. It'll just be interesting to see. Now, if Kelly comes in game one and, you know, doesn't do anything, doesn't throw any interceptions, you know, moves the team efficiently, you know, does he get to ride it out and stay in the game longer and then start game two and then move on? He's the starter this year. I don't know. We'll just see what happens.
It's got to be Kelly, though. You know, I mean, if you have the other two, the Kincaid and Buchanan, who've been on campus, but their ceiling isn't anywhere near what Kelly's ceiling could be. And, you know, I think Freeze has got to play it the way he's playing it. But I think if anybody is looking at anything, Kelly has got to be the guy. If Ole Miss wants to repeat what they wanted last year, he's got to be the guy. He's the one with the ceiling. He's the one with the talent, you know, that can actually make plays. So I would see him probably get that first nod and see if he can take control of those things the first couple of games.
Now,
I agree. I mean, also, would you have brought Kelly in if you were if you really thought Buchanan or Kincaid were the guy?
And would you bring in a guy? Would you bring in a guy with what he did, and then verbally say, like Free said, "Is I'm taking a leap of faith. Can this backfire on me?" Yes. I mean, he's been verbal about that. You don't make that call if you believe in the other two guys that were in place.
Well, I've got two things to say. Sims and Coker at Alabama. I mean. You know, the same thing. Yeah. But the trouble thing didn't necessarily follow Coker. I don't want to put the same label on him there. But I'm also thinking, if I'm Hugh Freeze, in the back of my mind, while he might be my guy, he's proven time and time again that he might not be the most trustworthy guy to stay out of trouble. So maybe it's a hedge your bets kind of thing. Let's get some reps on Buchanan so that if the worst-case scenario happens and – you know, he does do something stupid again. At least I've got a quarterback that I can then fall back on that's got some game experience to try to lead us through and salvage the season. Could that be a fair way to look at this?
I definitely think so. I was actually thinking about the Alabama quarterback situation last year when Blair was talking. You bring somebody in like Kelly, saying he's going to pencil it in for the starter. I mean, how many people remember that, Jay Coker Coker was preseason all SEC pick last year by the media and didn't see that, didn't start a game. So everybody just penciled him in, and then he didn't start. And Sims took over. So, crazier things have happened. But, going back to, I don't think you bring this guy in and you take a, quote, leap of faith, if you don't think that his ceiling's a lot higher and that he could do, bigger things than a serviceable Buchanan or Kincaid.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. I mean, that's the biggest what if. I mean, you look at Ole Miss and offensive side of the ball. I mean, they've got, people talk about the offensive line and the running game. You got to establish a run. I know Freeze wants to. Freeze was smart last year because he was trying to control Bad Bo, and that's why they didn't up-tempo as much as they did. And he's I've heard him kind of voice that he wants to get back up to that. But, I think until you figure it out, you can't really go 100 miles an hour when you can play to the defense that you guys got. So I think the smart thing to do is to minimize your mistakes on the offensive end of the field. Laquan Treadwell, the receivers, they're going to be fine. They're going to be the least bit. If I was an Ole Miss fan, that I'd worry about and his health. It's all about that guy behind center and what's going to really happen, and if they can protect him, because they've actually had a couple of hiccups in the preseason with wrestling in the. I think one guy was wrestling in the locker room.
Shadow boxing.
But he's only out for like 3 weeks, so he'll be back pretty quick. But they've had a couple of hiccups in the injury front there. They've gotten them dinged up. So, that's always the biggest scare from that standpoint.
Now, Cole, one of the things I remember last year we talked about was all the potential Ole Miss had, but one thing that they still were lacking was the depth. Are we getting that depth? It sounds like from listening to Blair that's still going to be a concern on the, especially on the O-line side of the ball, that you might not be as deep as you'd like to be in a position like that where injuries do tend to happen throughout the course of a year.
Well, I completely agree. Depth was an issue last year. Well, obviously it's getting better. You have probably 7 to 8 guys right now that could be penciled in or could start a game on the offensive line. You have Tunsil. Obviously, everybody knows Tunsil's the rock at left tackle. Right tackle, you have Fawn Cooper. And then we have Ben Still and Robert Conyers. I believe Conyers beat out Still for the starting center spot. Ben Still started every game last year, and Conyers came on and took his spot. So he's starting at center. And I believe you have a returning starter in Justin Bell at one guard, and then a true freshman, Javon Patterson, supposed to start game one at the other guard spot. Besides them, you've got obviously Ben Still is going to be a backup center and also play backup tackle, and two other guys. Now, Christian Morris, you know, who originally signed with UCLA back in, you know, back in a couple years ago. He's back 100%. But you have Rod Taylor, who was pushing to be named a starter as a true sophomore at guard over a returning senior offensive guard and Justin Bell. And then he gets into a locker room shadow boxing fight with friends and tears his labrum or something, you know. So, but they're holding out, not going to have surgery till the end of the year, but he's going to be playing through pain. So, I mean, is there depth? There's not as much depth issues, I don't think, as there was last year. But, you know, last year we were ravaged by injuries. People don't realize because we kept winning a lot of games. But towards the end of the year, I mean, you had so many people out. And the year before, when we surprised – year before, 2 years before when we surprised people, we didn't have hardly any injuries at all. So that just goes to show you, I mean, that's any SEC team, you know, any football team, Division One football team. You have injuries that can completely change the makeup of your team.
And so, I think the other thing to add to that, guys, is am I right, Cole, this will be Freeze's beginning of his fourth year?
Fourth
year? Okay. See, actually, I mean, he hasn't even gone through a full cycle of recruits yet, and that's the offensive line is the hardest thing. And, I mean, that's the thing that, you know, Mullen's going into his seventh year now, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But that's the thing that, you know, for the first four or five years, that was the biggest thing was it was when somebody goes down an offensive line, who do we have to put in that's going to be serviceable? The problem that's hit Ole Miss is you have a guy, a stud, like the Golson kid that just leaves the program. You know, he doesn't even he doesn't even hardly get into the program before he decides to leave. It's a huge upset when you've recruited that kid. And then the Drew, you know, what's the kid from last year that went to Tennessee? Richmond.
Drew Richmond.
Yeah, I mean, there's a five-star tackle that Ole Miss has their hands on for a year, and then you lose them, you know, last 2 weeks to Tennessee in recruiting. So that's always going to be, I think, the offensive line is the slowest place to gain the recruits, even though Freeze is recruited at such a high level, especially for, you know, the skill positions and some of those elite, you know, obviously Tunsil. You know, and the other thing about Tunsil, and, you know, the thing that has got to, you know, make you a little bit worried at Ole Miss is, you know, 2 years ago it was a shoulder or something that kind of banged him up, and he kept kind of he'd miss a quarter of a game and come back in, and he'd miss some games here, and then last year he had the knee or something, and then he breaks his leg, and so he is going extremely high, predicted in, you know, top 10 in the NFL draft. He's really got to put together a complete healthy year, or that's going to knock him some, because there'll be this durability question about him. And so, you know, so those are the things. But I think that's the spot on the offense for Ole Miss outside of, obviously, the quarterback is, can you keep guys healthy and can you establish the run, which Freeze has basically said that he's going to be more committed to doing that, you know, than last year.
Well, and establishing the run is – yeah. Go ahead.
No, go on, Cole.
I mean, establishing the run is going to be very, very important. I mean, you know, you can't be predictable anymore. I mean, that's – you know, it got very, very predictable that we were going to throw bubble screens. We were going to throw, you know, throw out to Laquan, throw, you know, to Ingram. You know, we could not run the ball. Would we? It is embarrassing, you know, but it's such an embarrassing stat. I think we had 6 yards on 30-something carries in the Peach Bowl. You know, yeah. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. You could not move the ball, period. Yeah. Now the thing I worry about is we have four running backs, really three. You know, you have Walton. You have Akeem Judd, who's coming off a redshirt year. There was a stud junior college recruit 2 years ago. They say he's looked great in fall camp and in the summer and on the scout team last year. You know, but he was also a junior college. So how's he going to adapt? You know, he's supposed to be the power back along with the kid from St. Benedict in Memphis. He'll hit me in a minute. Jordan Wilkins. You know, so you have those three playing, but you tailback by committee is great, like when you need fresh legs towards the end of a game, but you also have to have a guy. You know, last year, you know, y'all had Mississippi State had Josh Robinson. He was the guy. You know, this year, you're probably going to have Ashton Shumpert, you know, who's, or I may be wrong on that, but you have the guy that's getting most of the carries. So is Walton at 5'10", 180 pounds going to be able to be the guy in an SEC offense and really move the ball? It'll be interesting to see if we can do it. So we're going to certainly feed it to the running back. And, you know, I go back to what I said about Laquan. I think that we're going to try to establish it in the first two games and see what happens, but you never know until you really get on the field.
One thing that this discussion has made me, I sat back and I've been thinking, and, you know, we, from the outside, everybody says the SEC is overconfident, you know, and those that really know the SEC and from top to bottom understand that it's a really, really talented, difficult place to play week in and week out. And I think, you know, the discussion we were having about the O-line was a great piece of why that might be so. It's because you look at the bottom half of the SEC, and now that they've had some coaches that have been there for a number of years, they're starting to establish some depth in their program that you're not going to be able to get through if you're, you know, a Conference USA program. You might get a couple of really good guys, but you're not going to get the depth of 3 and 4 and even 5-star recruits that are able to sit there on the bench and play in SEC country. I mean, you talk about Ole Miss now has got 7 or 8 O-linemen. You know, when we did the Kentucky podcast, that's exactly what Kentucky was doing. They've got 8 or 9 offensive linemen that could basically start at any position. And for you to say the Kentucky Wildcats have 8 or 9 offensive linemen that can come in and be a difference maker and possibly be able to start in the SEC, that's saying something about the depth of the whole conference in general, because Kentucky and Ole Miss are just 2 of 14 teams, and I'd say 2 of maybe 10 or 12 teams that are able to establish this depth. And you're also getting, you know, that ability to keep, for the most part, the coaching staffs intact, aside from a couple of different programs, and they didn't, from a recruiting standpoint, drop off that much. When you think about Florida and what they were able to do with the McElwain hire, you know, they didn't miss much in their recruiting side. So the depth is not just what you're, you know, I think Britton always talks about too deep when we talk with Britton Burton on these podcasts, and he likes to look at that too deep roster, because it's, you know, there is always that chance that the guy's going to go down and who's right there to take their place. And Alabama has that luxury, but now more and more teams in the SEC are starting to be able to fill in some of those places.
Absolutely. You're totally right on that. I mean, we hadn't even talked about the best thing that Ole Miss has, which is their freaking defense. It's going to be so ridiculous. It's not even funny.
It just makes you sick. You know,
well, I do have a question, though, for you, because unlike the only thing, I mean, the front seven is going to be ridiculous. There's like 20 people they can plug in the front seven, probably. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a defensive line. They could throw in more rotations than you can even think. Yeah, they probably got 11 or 12 guys that they could literally go 3 deep at and do different combinations. The kicker is going to be is that secondary losing, you know, and it's so interesting because you have Saquon Golston, who, if you remember 3 years ago as a true freshman, basically got ridiculed on a viral, you know, a video of the Trent Richardson run where he missed 2 tackles within 70 yards of each other. You remember that? And he basically took his lumps. He took his lumps as a freshman. He comes back. He has, what, 10 or 11 picks last year. He's an All-American. You have, what's his name? It's the safety.
Cody Pruitt.
I mean, he was an All-American as a junior, and again, I guess last year as well. But those are 2 really seasoned players. And I know you got T. Shepherd, and I know you got the big Bridges kid, which are long and athletic corners. But that's the only thing that I see on Ole Miss that luckily you've got all the pressure that comes from the front. And I know how athletic those guys are, but they haven't seen the field, have they?
No, they haven't.
One of the JUCO's transfer and one sat out last year was hurt, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the only thing that scares me is that you had the combination last year where you had the front that you could throw at them, but you also had a very, very ridiculous back end. And they're going to be so good up front that it's going to help them on the back end. But that would be the only thing that I could actually see on the defensive side of the ball that would have anything that could be what you would term a possible question mark. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, the secondary, to me, I'm more worried about the linebacking corps, to be honest with you. I mean, maybe. A little.
But you bring
some really good points. I mean, let's start with the secondary. I agree with what you say, but Cinquez Golson probably would not have started last year if T. Shepard had a been hurt in fall practice, which is crazy. The fact that he gets 11 interceptions and an All-American, and he was probably not going to start. Now he had seen the field. But he was extremely athletic, you know. But you're exactly right that they had T. Shepard, Tony Bridges, and I believe I want to say Cassius Vaughn, or I can't remember the guy's name. Yeah. There's a third guy in there that are starting, you know, or in the rotation to be the cornerbacks. You know, Bridges is locked in. T. Shepard's not a locked in starter right now, but you have. You know, but you have Mike Hilton to do everything. You know, Mike Hilton. He can play any spot, any safety spot, the rover spot, corner, either corner. You know, and then you have, you know, you got Trey Elston back there. Doing anything. Chief Brown's gonna be a good, reliable backup.
Man, they got everybody.
And the best secondary person. You know, nobody's talking about Tony Connor.
Connor, yeah.
I mean, probably the surest tackler on the team. You know, he's all over the place. His position allows him to play everywhere. So it's going to be a nasty defense. It's going to be fun to watch, I think. I mean, I just hope they last year Freeze definitely slowed it down, not only to prevent Bad Bo, but to play to our defense's strength as well, I believe. And that was smart. I mean, I think that he realizes this defense has a good chance to be as good or maybe a little bit better. I almost hesitate to say that. But they're a year older. You know, the linebacking core, you know, get Denzel back. You know, if he can be anything close to what he was 2 years ago, I'm sorry, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It's crazy it's been that long since he was all over the place. And he was the name everybody talked about
with
the Ole Miss defense. And he's been 2 years, been hurt, banged up both years. And, I mean, he was having a good year last year before he broke his ankle. You know, and then you've got CJ that they were so deep on the defensive line that they've moved him to middle linebacker, which is where he was recruited to play anyway. But they have said, you know, Chris Kiffin, you know, the defensive line coach has already came out saying that CJ is going to play defensive. You know, they've got packages for, you know, Marcus Haynes and CJ to be on the opposite end spots and third and long position. So it's going to be pretty interesting. You know, Christian Russell, I think, is one of the other linebackers. They've got some maybe depth concerns at linebacker more than anywhere on the defense. But it all, you know, defensive line, you have three. You can rotate three new lines every series. It's ridiculous.
Which I think is why Freeze knows that he can probably speed up the tempo. It's because they got more depth on that front end than they did even last year, even though they were dominant last year. But they weren't as deep as they'll be this year on that front end. So they're going to anchor everything from that defensive line. But, I mean, it's going to be salty.
It is. And then, you know, you got a guy, obviously everybody knows about Robert Kimdichie. You know, I mean, taking double and triple teams, you know, you're going to have to double team him. And then you leave Fadal Brown and, you know, Marcus Haynes on the edge, you know, freed up. Somebody's going to be free.
Yeah.
And that's what Kimdichie does more than anything. Maybe the stats don't lend to Linda, what everybody thinks, he hadn't lived up to the hype. But, I mean, he is double and triple teamed, you know, half the at least half of the ball game. You know, he just need. I think you talked about Tunsil earlier. It's not injury concerns so much with Kim Dishi, but it is. Can he put a highlight real season together to like assure himself of it being a top five pick? I mean, he, you know, he needs to get the quarterback, you know, a few more times. He needs to, you know, stuff the run game a little bit more. But you know, he does his job. He does what's asked of him. So it'll be interesting to see the different combinations that, you know, Womack and Kiffin and everybody's going to have on that defense. So it'll be fun to watch. Looking forward to it.
Well, let's see how that stifling defense equates into wins and losses as we kind of look at the schedule. Nick Jones has had an interesting way of looking at these, and he kind of backs into it. He goes, you know, I think this is a whatever win team. You know, like for me, I think Ole Miss is a 7-win team this year. What, you know, what are those 7 wins? What are those 5 losses? That's how I've kind of taken my approach this whole season, looking at this, going, all right, if I think in my head they're a 7-win program, where are their 5 losses? Or better yet, where can there be 7 wins? And you guys might be different than that, might be higher or lower than that. But looking at this, I think you're going to have a big test against Alabama. We're going to go on and give you the first 2 games. Unless there's something I don't know about Martin.
No.
Okay.
I mean, no, I think
Valley, can do that. You got to watch out for the Valley, dude.
Mm-hmm. I think we're okay the first 2 games.
I think you're 2-0, man.
And everybody has that stretch, that murderer's row, you know, 4 to 5 or 6 week gauntlet that they have to run, and Ole Miss gets that at the end because, you know, after Alabama, I think you get a break by having Vanderbilt at home.
I do think you get a break by Vanderbilt. You know, the gauntlet is definitely towards the end. But before we go much further, let's also talk about one thing I think is really key to this is we go 12 weeks. No, the 12 week, 10 week, 10 or 11 weeks without a bye. That's another change with the SEC this year, going away from 2 byes. Now we only have 1 bye. And our bye doesn't come till week 12. So not only are we going through murderer's row after, you know, let's just say, you know, I think it's A&M, Auburn, Arkansas, and LSU. So really A&M, Auburn, Arkansas all in a row.
Then you have a
bye. First bye game. Then we have a bye.
And then you
then
have
LSU
that
and State. Oh, okay. LSU and then State. So we have the bye right before LSU. We, you know, I mean, but that's tough. I mean, I didn't even mention that earlier. What I'm, you know, one thing that worries me is we're talking about health this entire time, but the schedule and no bye week, and if somebody gets hurt, you know, and it never stops. I mean, the SEC, you know, you have somebody every single week, but you know, it's gonna be interesting. We but you know, getting back to Bama, you know, if you want to go in order or however you want to do it, I mean, we definitely be 2-0 go to Bama. I think that I really, really, really think it'll be a good game. I think it's gonna. I mean, I honestly think we have a really good opportunity to win. But there's just – it's Bama, it's night, and it's in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, it's hard.
We haven't won in Tuscaloosa since I don't think – before I was – maybe I was 2 years old. So
is most of the nation.
I can't give us a win.
And the thing that you had last year – like, I actually watched that game, like, 3 weeks ago, the Bama, you know, when they showed all those top 25 games or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember, and I was like, you know, they fumbled that ball before halftime, and it was, like, 14-3 or something, or whatever it was. And I was like, how did Ole Miss end up coming back and winning this game? And basically what you had was you had Bo Wallace make plays, which, I mean, he made plays. And when he made plays – Ole Miss was really, really hard to beat. And then Alabama made mistakes. The stud tight end was off sides on that play. They fumbled a kickoff return. They never do. You know, they throw a pick in the end zone at the end. I mean, it's a hell of a catch and play by Golson.
But still.
But it was one of those things, and that's just, you know, it's one of those things where I just – it's difficult to give Ole Miss a win in Tuscaloosa that early with that quarterback question, because no matter who he has it settled, that's a big-time environment that a relatively new quarterback is going to have a hard time. It doesn't matter how good their defense is, because Alabama's – if Ole Miss has got a good defense, Alabama's going to be kicking at their tails with a stud defense, you know, especially on that front four. So I would give Ole Miss the loss on that one.
Yeah, and you got to think that
I agree.
Alabama doesn't want to lose to Ole Miss twice in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, so you also have that going. You know, there's just too much going against Ole Miss at this point, against Alabama.
I agree.
So we're all in agreement. Let's not drag it through any further. Vanderbilt, I think that everybody say a win.
Yeah.
A W.
All right, you're going to the swamp.
This is a game that scares me just because I have no idea what Florida's going to be.
Yeah. I think
we pull it out. I think that we'll have played a tough road game. We know what tough road games are going to be like. We're going to be in a loud, intense atmosphere in Alabama. So it's not going to be anything new to be in front of that many fans being loud. And, you know, I just think that McElwain's going to turn it around. We just sort of like what we did with, you know, some teams in the past. I think we're just catching Florida a year or two before they really turn it around. So I'm going to give us the win.
The interesting thing on the Florida game, guys, is you've got Jeff Collins that knows everything about Ole Miss.
Yes.
A guy that's been there for 3 years, and their defense is going to be salty. You just don't know what they're going to have at quarterback. That's a kicker. You don't know what Ole Miss, and you don't know what Florida's going to be at quarterback. Man, that's a tough call.
You know both of them are going to have a staunch defense.
Yeah, and it's being played in the Swamp, which is a tough place to play. Golly, man, this – jeez. Y'all pick it.
I'm going with a loss at the Swamp just because there's too many unknowns. You're still both going to be fairly early in the season. Defensively, you know, Florida's almost is on par with Ole Miss in probably a lot of statistics. If you look nationally, their ranking, especially, you know, as bad as Florida was last year with Muschamp, their defense wasn't their problem. So it all depends upon offensively if McElwain can turn that offense around, make it what it needs to be. But you know, I think their defense is able to get on the field enough to pull off a victory there.
I do think I'll give Ole Miss the win there just for me thinking, but I do think it's one where Florida's basically, if they're looking at their schedule and they're trying to hit the East, this is a game at home that they're going to really target as, hey, this is one that we got to figure out a way to win. So it's going to be it's going to be a freaking slugfest, no matter how terrible their quarterback play is.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's going to be a tough one.
So Cole, you giving them a victory? Ole Miss a victory?
Then? I am. Yeah, and then I guess we go. You know, the next two games we can go on, and I think we got New Mexico State. I think we can pull that one out. So we don't have to – we can skim over that if y'all are okay.
Yeah, I think we can do both of those, New Mexico and then at Memphis. That's almost a home game for you all, isn't it?
Now, at Memphis is our toughest – is our toughest non-conference game probably. You know, were they 10-2 last year? 10-3?
Yeah. Isn't that the one where the Fugus or Flagus or whatever his name is?
Mm-hmm.
I can't even remember his name, but the guy that was like at FIU or whatever, he's the real deal.
Yeah, they won. They won Conference USA last year. Now that game last year was the best defensive performance I've probably ever seen out of an Ole Miss team. I mean, I think we held them to less than 100 yards of total offense last year in Oxford. But I mean, you know, if, yeah, I don't know what they've got. I don't know what they've come what they got coming back. A lot of people in Memphis and West Tennessee are talking about Memphis having a shot to win the game, but I just
I don't
think so.
I don't think so either.
So they won Conference USA?
Yes.
I thought Western did.
I could be wrong. I thought that they had won or at least tied for the league title.
They had three losses last year against Ole Miss, against UCLA, and against Houston. I don't see what they ranked last year, but that's still
Ole Miss and UCLA have two big top teams there.
They almost beat
UCLA.
Yeah, they did.
The game before they played us.
That's right.
So.
Yeah, that's
yep.
right.
But they've lost their defensive coordinator, right? Didn't he go to Arkansas?
I have no idea. We're talking too much.
I have
about
no
Memphis.
Idea.
Yeah.
Memphis lost.
So we'll win.
Yeah, they'll win. We'll Let's win. Move on.
Might we'll be win. Tough, but you're. I think I'll give you the victory there too. Then you host A&M.
I just don't think. I think we get the win against A&M. It's home. You know we. We've got a defense to at least contain their offense and their defense. I know Chavis is there and they've got Miles Garrett and he's great, but their defense just, Chavis can't make a turn the thing around so that quick. So because it's at home and because A&M's defense, I don't think can stop that many people. I think that we'll get the victory.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think Sumlin's going to run the ball enough. That's his biggest problem. He kills his defense because he won't run the football enough. So I just think that's what it's going to be. But he will score the first time he has a possession in like four plays.
Oh.
So that's what he does.
He's very, very good at that. Very, very good at that.
I'm giving you the victory there too, but this is where I think you hit a buzzsaw, in my opinion. Then you go at Auburn.
I agree. That's a that is a – It's going to be a very, very emotional game. I think it's going to be I don't know. I'm really up in the air to see what happens. I mean, it's Halloween night. Auburn, it'll be interesting to see where Auburn is. You know, at that
what are you talking about, Cole? Auburn's going to be undefeated, and Jeremy Johnson is going to be the Heisman front runner. I mean, have you not listened to this stuff yet, dude?
This is ridiculous.
You have no shot of beating Auburn at Auburn.
Well, I am not going to say that we're going to win. We're going to lose because just like Tuscaloosa, for some reason, whenever we go to Auburn, Alabama, we lose. So believe me, we're not going to win. It's just going to be – I'm about sick and tired of hearing all this Auburn mess. It's almost getting as bad as Alabama, to be quite honest with you. So, but, no, we'll get a loss. We'll have a loss there.
It was Barry Odom, and he went to Missouri, who – That's his alma mater from Memphis. I knew from a podcast previously that Memphis lost their defensive coordinator. So that's what happened there. So.
Well, Blair and I will sleep easy tonight knowing exactly. that. Thank you.
You're very welcome. We're
trying to make all our people at work tomorrow.
We're trying to make all our fans of the University of Memphis happy there.
Okay. Well, somebody was screaming watching this podcast.
I bet they were. And it had nothing to do with Memphis. So the next buzzsaw to me is Arkansas. And they're coming to your house, but I still pencil the loss right there.
Whoa.
I just don't see it. I think that was – and maybe I'm wrong. I don't think I am. I think last year going to Fayetteville was the biggest letdown. Nobody – You know, until the bowl game, obviously, but nobody showed up. We were so deflated after the Auburn game last year. I just don't think we showed up. Then they score, and then we stop them fourth and goal and get called for a phantom offsides call, and the rest is in the history books. And they beat us. How they beat us 30-0. They hit their stride at the right time. We were on the downward spiral, but I think that's motivation enough to be ready when they come to Oxford. I don't think Brandon Allen is a good quarterback. I don't know why anybody else thinks he's a good quarterback. He was a serviceable game manager for 2 years, and all of a sudden last year somebody decides that, well, hell, he's a returning quarterback, you know, and not many other people have him, so he must be third team all SEC or second team all SEC, whatever he was, you know. He's just – he's not great, guys. And they have – they lost Jonathan Williams. Yes, they have – you know, yes, they have, you know, Alex – what's his name? Alex Collins and, you know, a great, you know, great tight end talent tandem and stuff. They're going to have a good defense, but they can't throw the ball other than to the tight end. So if you shut – you can shut them down. So I think we're going to be motivated to prove that last year was a fluke.
Yeah, I give y'all a win there too. I think the Jonathan Williams injury is going to hurt more than people think it's going to be. They just go, oh, well, they just got this other guy. I mean, those two guys were running 1,000 yards apiece, and I think that's a big, big hit. I think Brandon Allen is a serviceable quarterback, and I think he made strides last year. I know in the Mississippi State game, I thought he played one of his better games, and if he had wide receivers that would catch the football, I thought he played well. And that's really about the only time I really kind of looked at any extent of it. But I think that being in Oxford, they're going to be tough to beat in Oxford.
I mean, I don't know if you've done your Arkansas podcast or not, and I don't mean to, you know, disrespect any Arkansas fans. I don't know what their schedule even looks like. But that team is more like a 6-6 team to me than a team that's going to contend for the West.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to be an easy out, you know, and I think Bielema has done a great job and he's continued to do a good job there, but Jonathan Williams getting hurt and them not having a great quarterback, you know, or a passing game for that matter. I mean, it's just going to catch up with them. Now, a couple years from now, we may be talking about Arkansas and win in the West or something, but this year, I mean, 6-6, they're more like a 6-6 team to me.
I think I had them at 7 wins.
Yeah.
Is that extra win at Oxford?
There it is, right there.
There you go.
But I do have you guys beating LSU.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's
going to be
a
intriguing
one for me.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I'm gonna approach these last two games a little differently than I'd probably think, but I mean, as of right now, I have us, you know, going into this LSU game at being 8-2. And, you know, these last two games, we're coming off a bye. Okay. So we're playing LSU. If we're 8-2, there's going to be a lot of people talking about us going to a big time bowl game. We have two rivalry games, that we lost to LSU last year and, you know, in a good defensive match, and then you have the state game. These are both going to be really, really tough. I'm more worried about these two games than really, really any, because I think we win the LSU game more or less because it's almost payback and because it's in Oxford. I know Blair said this earlier. We're going to be tough to beat in Oxford. I really believe that. But you know, LSU, unlike State plays LSU at the beginning of the year before LSU figures everything out. We play them at the end of the year. They're going to have the quarterback situation figured out. They're going to have, you know, they're going to have Jalen Mills back, you know, playing in the secondary for them. They're going to be, you know, pretty salty on defense figuring everything out. So that's going to be a completely different team at the end of the year. So, I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. I think we get the win. You know, it'll be senior night. It will also be the last time that four very important juniors probably play in Oxford. So I think there's a lot riding on that game. I think we win that one.
And you never know. I mean, LSU could be 5 wins at that time and sucking wind, and they could be, you know, if they're at the 8 win mark in the first 10 games, they're 8-2. That becomes a totally different game, but I do see that. And leading into the Egg Bowl, I think I know what he's going to talk about, which is since they moved that thing to the campus sites, there's only been 2 games in like 21 years that the away team has won. And it just seems like, you know, you get to the Egg Bowl 2 years ago, there should have been no way on earth Ole Miss should have lost the game. And they lost the game. And last year, Ole Miss was sucking wind, you know, on offensive line, and we just play a read and react and don't rush the quarterback for some reason. And then, you know, then they can't run the football the whole year, and they just run it right down our damn throat. So it just everything gets thrown out of the playbook in that Egg Bowl, and it usually always falls on the home team side some way, shape, or form. So that's always tough.
It is always tough, and it is. And I agree with what you're saying. You know, I led you into it, and you pretty much took the bait. I mean, it's a home and home. I mean, it's a home and home series. The home team usually wins no matter what.
And the two times the away teams won, they have Mississippi State was like light years better. What, 5 years ago than Ole Miss? It was a complete train wreck at Ole Miss. And then, you know, 12 years ago when State was just a complete basket case, and I think y'all had Eli, y'all just came in and just wore us out. So it was a huge disparity in talent. It just always seems to be that way, so we'll see if it holds true this year.
But all that being said,
you're going to go 10-2?
I think we're going to win, and we're going to be 10-2.
Nice. That's salty, dude.
That's a homer right there,
man.
I'm taking the home team only because it's the Egg Bowl, and like you all were saying, that's looking at it, it's just tough for each of your teams to go to the others and pull off a victory. And I'm going to go with the odds there and say that you come away with a loss. So that's where I come up with my five losses.
Yeah, I mean, I think
you know, the other thing is, yeah.
No, yeah. I was just going to say, I think they're going to have a 10-win team defense, but that quarterback position is such an unanswered thing. It's so hard in the West to figure out a way to get that done, you know, 10-win. That's tough. I think 8's realistic. I think everything falls right. You can get to that 10 just like anybody. But yeah, that's pretty salty. I like it. That's bold, man.
Hey, you gotta be bold sometimes.
That's awesome.
So, but we'll see. We'll see. It could backfire in my face. We got a lot of things, you know. Schedule is always tough. No bye. And we got to figure out this quarterback situation. But you said it at the beginning, Kelly's got one heck of an upside.
Yeah,
and if he can keep his head on straight and we can stay healthy, then we can do some really good things. Now, my next question is, does 10 and 2 give you a sure opportunity to win the West this year?
I think so.
Yeah, but the problem is your two losses are against the other two teams
exactly.
That only have two losses.
Exactly.
So you're losing the tiebreaker.
Exactly. Correct.
You're on the outside looking in.
So that's where I think that we're the outside looking in because of that. So we'll still be that only team in the West, I guess, besides A&M. The only one that's been there for a while that hadn't been to Atlanta. So we'll see.
Man, that's good.
Well, let's flip to the other side of the state and change gears a little bit and talk about an offense that knows who their quarterback is, right?
That's right. But we're going to be terrible.
Yeah. The Dak attack.
No, I like
you. You got to run you.
I know. Well, you know, that's what's so funny is, you know, what's the narrative been about State all offseason is loss of starters. But if you look at it, it's a little bit of a farce, I think, if you look at it from that standpoint. But what I actually look at is you got Dak Prescott, who's I think we can all – and here's some stats for you guys, just so you can kind of chew on this a little bit, because I ran across this, and being a State fan, I had no clue that this was last year. Do you know how many – you know what that Mississippi State's total yards from scrimmage last year was the fourth most in SEC history?
Whoa,
as
that's
a team.
Awesome.
Did you know that Dak Prescott had the most yards from scrimmage – which is the third most in SEC behind one guy who had number one and two, and that's Mr. Johnny Football. So he's above Tebow. He's above Cam Newton. That's what they did last year. So for me, what I look at is they've got – we all know that they're going to have a running back because that's what Mississippi State can do. I mean, that's the one thing they've done for 30 years is they've always had a running back. So I don't really have a problem with that and the way they run their offense. The biggest thing on the offensive side of the ball, they're going to have, I think, probably their best receiving core that they've had. They lost two starters from that. And do you know who Robert Johnson is? And most of you might know who Jamion Lewis was, but he was hurt all last year. They're not losing anything there. It's the offensive line. And like we talked about earlier when we were talking about Cole, this is what my whole thing was. They had the number four most yards from scrimmage last year in the SEC history, and none of the graduating offensive linemen were drafted in the NFL. So what that tells me is that in the seventh year of the program, which is the player development program, I'm not really worried about the offensive line because every guy they put in there has been in the program at least 3 years, and that's what they do. And I've complained about it for the first 4 years. In the last 2 years, they've completely proven me wrong that they can run the football and they can run that offense. And you got Dak Prescott, who I think is going to be able to throw the ball. He's going to make decisions a little bit quicker, which is going to help that transition. So I think offensively, for me, I think that is a huge undervalued piece. Because, I mean, they had the most yards from scrimmage and number one offense in the SEC last year. They had the sixth fastest team in college football last year, and nobody really paid attention that State was really kind of a hurry-up team, but they were the fastest in the SEC per play. And so, you know, I think that that goes to because Dak Prescott, I believe, is a guy that always kind of takes the next step. And how do you take a next step with what he did last year? And that's going to be the interesting thing. I think he's going to have a better supporting cast. You get to the defensive side of the ball. I'll just run through this right quick, and Cole can probably answer this question for me. The biggest thing here is that everybody basically looks at that and goes, you lost Preston Smith, and you lost Benardrick McKinney. Preston Smith is the one that I'm worried about because he was a beast, right? But tell me this, would you rather have Chris Jones over Caleb Ewells? Would you rather have Will Redmond over Jamerson Love? Would you rather have Kendrick Market over Jay Hughes? Like all of the guys, so you remember I could get on here and complained about the 1A and 1B defense and why don't we just pick 15 guys and freaking roll with them? Well, now this year I'm kind of glad they ran 1A and 1B last year because Richie Brown had as many tackles as Benardrick McKinney. Benardrick McKinney had 60 tackles last year, which was 40 below his year average because he played half the snaps. And so Chris Jones is not going to play 40 snaps this year. He's going to play 65. And so I think there's an opportunity, and they got the ability to kind of take the chip on their shoulder. But the biggest thing that I like, and I don't know if y'all think this or not, but I really am fired up about Manny Diaz being back. Because if you want to know it, the Texas was a freaking sinking ship. When that dude was at Mississippi State, and if you watched Mississippi State last year, it was a read and react defense. Manny Diaz is an attacking defense. Schematically, it's a little bit kind of the same thing, but they're going to, you know, Louisiana Tech, they had 42 interceptions last year. Manny Diaz's worst defense is allowed 21 points a game. If Mississippi State can actually keep opponents under 21 points, they'll win a crap load of ball games this year. And that's where it's going to be. Can they turn the ball over? Can they create the negative plays, which Jeff Collins was more of a, we're kind of a read and react kind of a defense, and we're not going after you. And that was the biggest thing in the Ole Miss game. The Ole Miss game, you should have thrown seven guys at Bo Wallace who couldn't even freaking lift his arm and was on a broken leg almost. There's no way you shouldn't have gone after the guy. And they just kind of played back, and he just threaded the needle. So I think Manny, that'll be the difference maker to me. I think they're going to be – I don't think they're going to be last in the West. I think they're going to be a really, really good team. But I could see them winning, you know, 8 ball games and having a decent year. But I don't really count out the Dak factor, because I think he, like Ole Miss, you have a defense that's always going to keep you in the game. And I think Dak Prescott has the ability to lift you in a lot of games, where he can outplay the other side of the ball and neutralize some of those great defenses that you're going to play. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But I'm looking forward to it because, I mean, I've never seen a consensus SEC player of the year where the team's been picked last in their division. But that's the SEC West.
So what is your
They're not the last place team in the West. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, you have Dak Prescott, who I agree is a game changer. I mean, he's a threat to run in the offense. He's a gamer. I mean, he's a big time gamer. He's going to keep you in ball games that, you know, maybe, maybe you shouldn't be in. He's going to, help you win a bunch of ball games. But also with that defense, you know, you hit on it playing so many people last year. Yeah, you lost a lot, but you get a lot of stuff coming back too. And you get a defense coordinator that knows the coach. You know, he knows Starbuck. He knows the program.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people can say – I mean, you can't really say that around the country. Coming – you know, a defense coordinator coming back. And, you know, Texas was a sinking ship.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those players gave up on, you know, that he was a scapegoat.
Yeah.
You know, he was fired the week before, you know, Texas hosted Ole Miss 2 years ago. So
yeah. And the other thing I liked about Manny Diaz is that he made Strickland sign him to a 3-year contract, because he basically says, I'm not going after a head coaching job. I want to be a defensive coordinator. I found out through this tumultuous time what I wanted to be as a coach and what I was going to basically run my program like. And so he got a shot at La Tech, and then, you know, I thought Mullen would be a little too conceited to actually hire him back, but it sounded like, hey, they just wanted to make sure that they were still on the same page from 4 years ago, but I do think that that's going to be a big thing. I think State's going to be a little bit more in your face on the defensive side of things than they were last year.
So what are you most concerned about as a Mississippi State fan?
Well, if you watched Mississippi State last year, the biggest thing that drove you crazy was the secondary and the amount of big plays. I think they gave up 13 30-yard touchdowns or more, over 30-yard touchdowns, which had basically doubled or tripled, you know, the year before. I think in the secondary you're gonna have Will Redmond and Tevez Calhoun, who are, you know, I think really, really good corners, that, and I think we're going to have to be way more athletic in the second safety position. Last year, you know, we just really didn't have that. I mean, Jay Hughes was a great leader, but, you know, he couldn't get across the field to save his life. And, you know, they just got destroyed in the back end. And when you don't attack on the front end, you know, Preston Smith was just whipping people, you know, up front. But I think this year, I think with a little bit more attack up front, that's my biggest concern, is, you know, and to be honest with you, my biggest concern is who's going to kick damn field goals, because that's just a freaking train wreck every year under Dan Mullen for some reason. So, but other than that, I think it's that secondary piece. You know, people are saying that they're worried about linebackers. I'm not worried about linebackers. I'm not worried about, you know, there's going to be some names that most people don't know, but they've been there. They've been in the rotation. But I do think it's just wanting to make sure that the secondary is going to, you know, those first couple of games be able to kind of not give up big plays. That's the biggest thing.
All right, let's kind of run through their schedule real quick and see where we have them ended up.
Well, I saw where the SEC Network had us going 6-6.
I saw that too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, losing the last four. Yeah, man. I was like, man, that's pretty salty right there.
I tell you, that's the other thing, that the thing that concerns me more a lot with State is the schedule itself too.
Yeah.
You know, y'all hosted a lot of, I mean, other than Alabama, you hosted, well, Alabama and Ole Miss, I'm sorry. You know, most of your big games were at home, you know, A&M and even Arkansas at the end of the year, but especially the Auburn game. You know, you got to go to all those places this year. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
I'm giving you one more win. You know, I've got you pegged at 7 wins. So a little better, but not 6-6.
Well, I think we can scratch up Southern Miss as a W.
I'm giving you LSU as a win.
I think so too, man. I think early in the year, I think that's the game that I don't know if LSU will have stuff out, and that's going to be in Starkville. Brandon Harris, or whatever his name is, I saw him last year at Auburn. He's not going to be ready for cowbells, man. That place is going to be insane at 8:15 on Central Time in Starkville. So that's a pretty intimidating place. So I do think that that's a W there, but we'll see.
And Cole mentioned how it's catching LSU early is going to be a benefit for you guys this year, and I agree with that.
But you're also talking about we won twice in like the last 28 years, so there's a lot of things that can go wrong in that game.
I'm sorry, go on, Cole.
No. I was going to go and say I agree with y'all. I think that, you know, it's the first game of the year. First game of the year at night, LSU, first SEC game, and you hit on it. It's going to be a crazy atmosphere. I think that right there, you know, gets you some points. So I'd say you get the victory there.
Northwestern State, I think we'll all agree it's a victory.
That's a W.
I'm thinking you're going to have the most hiccups on the road because of the schedule. I'm giving you losses at both Auburn and A&M.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking all. If you look at, there's two road games. I think A&M and Missouri. If you got to figure out how to win games at those places, so you know, I'm going to say those are going to be two tough places to play. But I still think we can score on Texas A&M. We've played there before. Dax played really well there, and he's got a lot of. You know, he asked where he actually hurt his shoulder the last time going there. So, and that's a little bit different because, you know, Ole Miss has seen Texas A&M like 3 times out of 4 at home because of the quirk of the schedule. So it's the new stadium, so they didn't get to go there last year. But I'm going to say they win one of those. It's not going to be Auburn, though.
I think you end up losing to Auburn for sure, but A&M is a toss-up. I mean, that's – you know, we played there last year, you know, in front of the largest crowd in Texas history, I think. But I think that's what they said before the game. But, I mean, the new stadium is supposed to be unbelievable, you know, so loud. But I agree. I mean, Dak played great there 2 years ago, you know, before getting hurt. He was running all over them. They're not going to be able to stop anybody. So
yeah, but
you know,
their defense with their new coordinator, their defense is going to be much better.
I didn't say it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't bad. I mean, Myles Garrett in itself is, you know, is an unbelievable defensive player, and they've got talent. They've got a lot of talent. So we'll see what happens. But I think A&M gets the win. I mean, I think it's probably a pretty close game.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm not going to say it's a blowout, but yeah,
Yeah.
And then I'll give you the next three, too, and I'll begrudgingly give you the third one. Troy, La Tech, and Kentucky.
Kentucky's sneaky.
Yeah, if we were at Commonwealth, I would take Kentucky this year.
Well, I mean, that's where I don't know, man. That's there's always going to be a game in Davis-Wade where they're just kind of, and that's the game I'm worried about. Just because I don't think they've lost in Mullins. I don't think Mullins ever lost to Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's 6-0. So that's going to be a sneaky one. And the reason I say that is because I think with Dak's leadership, I think we're going to be able to sneak out a road win that we're not supposed to get. But I think that being comfortable at home, we may give up something that we aren't supposed to. But we'll see.
Well, if you lose if you do lose that one, it makes that next road victory that much easier to have to find a way to do. And yeah. That's going to Missouri.
Yeah, and that's a Thursday night. That's going to be interesting because that's a Thursday night game. I have no idea. It's the first time that I think we'll play them since we've been in SEC going there. It's going to be an interesting environment. So I'm really interested. You know, Matty Mock and Prescott showdown. I mean, that's going to be a fun game.
You know, I hear they have a new defensive coordinator from Memphis there too.
He's supposed to be pretty good.
That's what I hear.
I'm going to say we win that one. I'm saying that this is the year that Missouri just fizzles just a little bit. It's not, you know, everybody kind of doubts them, but I just don't think they're going to hang around 10 wins, 9 and 10 wins. So I'm going to sneak that one in. I'm probably going to give up the Texas A&M.
Cole, what do you think?
I mean, you know, Missouri at home, you know, Thursday night. I mean, it's going to be a difficult place for State to go in, you know, on the road, play in there. You've never played there before. You know, we've played Missouri three times in, I think, the last decade, twice before they're in the SEC. You know, they've got – they're always sneaky good, like you said. Can they keep it up? I don't know if they can keep it up, but – I think they pull off the victory. I think Missouri gets the win here. I mean, they've got. I apologize, I don't know his name, but I mean, they've got their top rusher returning, Matty Mock returning. You know, their defense is supposed to be solid. You know, Gary Pinkel does a really good job. So I think that they'd probably win on Thursday night.
All right. So then we go back to Starkville to host Alabama, and I've got you another loss there.
I could see us beating Alabama and losing the next week at Arkansas. I mean, that's the Alabama game is, I mean, I'm not going to pick it, but if there's a game that I could circle on the calendar that if State's ever going to have an opportunity to do it, I mean, in David's way to the new stadium and with Dak Prescott, and with Alabama and whoever their quarterback is, that's the chance. So, if I say that, we got to win these at home.
Cole, you got
anything? Bama. Sorry.
No.
And
like I said, this is going to be a rough end for you guys because I've got you losing at Arkansas, but I've already picked the Egg Bowl, so you get that one.
Well, yeah, before you get going, Blair, I'll just tell you, I hate Arkansas. I think y'all get the win.
Dude, well, I don't know. Maybe we turned the tide. I mean, we were 0-13 in Arkansas until 2 years ago when we won in overtime to get to a bowl game. You remember we were 4.
Now, is it in Little Rock or is it in Fayetteville?
Nah, this year is in Fayetteville. We're always typically the Little Rock one. So,
oh, yeah.
So we never really play well at Arkansas, and they almost beat us last year. So we'll see. I'm going to say it's a loss.
And we've already done the Egg Bowl a little bit ago. So how many?
Yeah.
What's that got them at for you, Blair? What do you end up with?
Oh, I've got no idea. I don't care. It's all going to play out, man. I think we're an 8-win team at least. That's just me. I think Dak Prescott makes up the difference in a lot of stuff. I think our defense is gonna. The defense, if you watch the first 4 games, and if we're holding teams under 20 points, that's the thing to watch, man. I think that's the key number the whole year. If State can hold teams under 21 points, they're gonna put up 21 points on anybody.
Well,
I think
you both are 7-win teams, but there's the ability on both of your schedules to eke out 8 or 9 wins. It's going to have
to take I think there's total chances for both of us to hit 10-win thresholds, I'm telling you. Because we don't know You don't know what Alabama's going to do. You really don't know what Auburn's going to do. And unlike Ole Miss and Mississippi State, we don't get credit for recruiting like they get credit for recruiting. So, you know what I mean? So, I mean, what is Auburn?
I agree.
I mean, if you want to actually look at the numbers, you know, I mean, I'll just give you 2 seconds. I don't know what Ole Miss, but Ole Miss has got to be more than that. Go look at Alabama's percentage of passing, receiving, and rushing coming back. Go look at Auburn's percentage of passing, rushing. Auburn's got like 30-something percent rushing coming back. They got 10% passing coming back, and they got like 40% receiving. Mississippi State's got 99% of their passing coming back. They've got 65% of their receiving, and they got over 55% of their rushing coming back. They got three of their four rushers coming back. They're only losing Robinson. So that's what is the equalizer, I think, that people don't, when you dig into the numbers. Can Jeremy Johnson be this unbelievable player? Yes, he has all the potential in the world. He's shown us 78 pass attempts. Let's see 78 pass attempts in the first four games, and then let's take a look at it and see where we're at. Let's see where in the world if Alabama throws out a true freshman, holy cow, dude. They got running backs, and they got offensive linemen. But Amari Cooper put up one of the greatest receiving years ever in the history of the SEC, like top three. He had 1,700 yards. If you watch the Auburn game, he would have scored every time. And so that's where when Cole and we're sitting there talking about it, that's where you have the ability to go up. LSU, they don't have a quarterback. Do you think – I mean, LSU is on a complete decline the last 3 years. Are they all of a sudden going to just turn it and go to 10 wins? I mean, these are questions that got to be answered. And Texas A&M, I mean, they've got a new coordinator. So that's where when I look at State, the offensive side of the ball, I don't think misses a beat. In fact, I think they have the ability to be better. I think Ole Miss has the ability to be better on defense. And if they can get the question mark that is the secondary on the kids that have stuff, I mean, I think those are huge equalizers. So that's just me. Dak Prescott, what was his worst game last year? His worst game was at Alabama, right? What was the biggest play in the game, if you remember? State was actually playing momentum, and he throws a behind-the-shoulder fade route to Darunya Wilson that he doesn't adjust. He doesn't recognize the throw, and the kid for Alabama picks it off in the end zone. It completely kills a drive, and Prescott ends up with 2 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. But if he would have had 3 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, he would have probably been in New York for the Heisman, because it would have been a totally different deal. They would have probably won that game. So, I mean, that's how thin it is on this whole thing. And so, I mean, if we want to look at returning numbers, that's where, you know, when they look at Auburn, they go, well, they lost three of their top four rushers. Oh, but they've got Javon, whatever his name is. Well, he was a stud recruit. Well, Ole Miss has recruited pretty well. Like, what do they got? Like, they got Akeem Judd. He was like a freaking 4 or 5 star 2 years ago. But Ole Miss is not going to get credit for that, but Auburn will when it comes into preseason stuff. So that's where I'll be interested to see how it kind of plays out.
It's interesting, too, because as I said earlier, I alluded to, he was an All-American JUCO player.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know his entire story. I'm not going to pretend like I do. But he was in junior college last year, not playing against Division I SEC talent. How is that going to translate when you're the number one running back at Auburn and everybody's been hearing about how good you are and Jeremy Johnson is? And now, guess what? Sammy Coates is no longer in Auburn, Alabama either to throw over the top. Okay, so you have Duke Williams, who's great. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but he was also lined up opposite Sammy Coates the entire year. So people now can double him. Now, Malzahn will figure out a way to get everybody the ball, and, you know, I think that they're going to be good, don't get me wrong, but Auburn and Alabama, I don't understand it. Whenever they give a scholarship offer to somebody, that kid automatically gets 5 stars. you know, it's just like, because they, you know, because they're going to the great state of Alabama, they're supposed to be some great football player. You know, I agree completely with Blair. I mean, there's plenty of talent in the state of Mississippi, and also the two schools, especially State. Hats off to Dan Mullen. Develop talent. Find three star talent and develop those kids. Yeah. And those kids are around for four and sometimes a fifth fifth year being a red shirt senior.
That's why I don't have any problem on the offensive line. And not only have they been in the program for 3 years, Shane, they're like the nine guys that are on the 10 guys that they have on the line, they're average like 6'6 and 308. So it's not like that's what they do. They set it number one last year, and I think they've been the average number 29th recruiting class in the last 5 years or whatever it was. So that's where I think for me, Dak Prescott is not a guy, and I think we've all seen this in the two previous years. He went through struggles when he got thrown into playing. He made a lot of mistakes. And then last year he blew up, but he still, when things got figured out at the end of the year, it didn't end well for him. And he's the type of guy that is motivated. He's going to throw the ball better. He's going to read the ball better. He's going to make decisions a lot quicker. And so I'll be interested to see. I think he's a huge, and I won't even get started on the backup that we actually have because I'm fired up about that dude too. So, anyway,
Cole, you got any parting shots before we wrap this up?
No, I'm just looking
Land
forward
shark,
to it, guys.
Baby. Land shark, baby.
Just wait, buddy.
Okay. What is the over under of how many times it's going to be thrown on the field this year?
A lot. A lot. So it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. It's only a couple more days, guys. Thursday night, first football game of the year.
Now, do you when you're in the stands, Cole? Do you actually do the land shark?
No, I don't actually.
Okay.
Unlike
Auburn or Alabama, I'm Alabama fan that actually men that wave pom poms. You know, we don't actually do that stuff in Mississippi.
Yeah. So, I clap. I cheer.
We ring cowbells. I mean,
you like, bring it, right, you know, smuggle like, in liquor, right?
Yes, yes, smuggle in liquor. I run up and down aisles like a 2-year-old when we intercept a pass in the end zone at the end of the game. But you know, besides that,
don't forget those pom poms, Bama, and Auburn.
You know, but hey, it's gonna be a great. I think it's gonna be a fun year. You know, last year, who would have known this time last year, Blair, Shane, me, sitting here talking about all this stuff, and you got the number one team in the country is in Mississippi. We're the number three team. We have the two Mississippi schools are in the inaugural, New Year's Six bowl games. You know, I mean, yeah, we ended up on the bad end of both of them, but when somebody asks the trivia question 20 years from now, name the first ever, top four, in the selections, State and Ole Miss are going to be the answers, two of the answers. That's crazy. That's how far we've come in the last couple of years. I know for Ole Miss it's been a little shorter. I mean, Mullen's been building it a little bit longer than Freeze has, but, we're no longer the afterthought of the West. So I'm looking forward to it, man. It's going to be
we kind of are, though, Cole.
This year, that's everybody's got to be picked. Somebody's going to be picked to be last.
I
mean, I saw CBS release theirs. They had eight guys picked SC West in order of finish, and Ole Miss was not picked any higher than fourth by any of them, and by two of them was picked dead last. So – I mean, Dennis Dodd picked us to finish dead last in the SEC West. Desmond Howard comes out and says Texas A&M is going to win the SEC. I mean, nobody knows. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
No.
But
and that's the good thing about Thursday is we finally get something real to talk about.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. I know Shane's fired up about Thursday because his Hilltoppers are going to lay the smack down on the SEC team. It's not even going to be funny.
I've got soccer practice with the kids that night, so I'll have to come
does
in.
Does Derek Mason make it through the year?
Yes.
How?
Because they're not going to fire him. I don't think David Williams will fire him.
I don't know. It depends on how bad that dumpster fire is.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're not going to be as bad as last year.
No. I mean, we saw their defense get better.
Yeah, well, you saw him when he actually called plays against Tennessee. Now, Tennessee was kind of a shell of itself but at that time, but, yeah. They're going to be better. They'll decide on a quarterback, you know. The problem with him was he got off on such a bad foot with the Pat Robinette deal where he wasn't forthright in that the kid was hurt. And so for 4 weeks he got the snot kicked out of him on the radio for pulling the kid and not playing him. So, I mean, he kind of made his own bed, and, yeah, but we'll see. I don't think he's fit for, you know, a head coach. I don't think David Williams will like to fire somebody after 2 years. That's just what my personal thought is. But if they win like one game, if they go winless, which is very possible, then all bets are off.
Well, I mean, there is a good chance that Western beats them. I don't know who their other non-SEC opponents are.
They go to freaking Middle Tennessee.
Yeah.
To Middle Tennessee in Murfreesboro. You lose that and you lose to Western Kentucky. Yeah.
I mean, there's a chance.
All bets are off.
Yeah, now you're talking about a two-win team.
I was just sitting here watching SEC Network while we were talking tonight, and they had the Vanderbilt preview on, and instead of going through the wins and losses through the schedule, instead of doing that for Vanderbilt, they did a stat where is their best chance to get a win?
Yeah.
An SEC win. They didn't even go through the schedule.
Yeah.
They just said, give me the top five chances of a win in the SEC. And I'm sorry, Shane, but number one was Kentucky. Whoa. But you have to have – it has to be somebody.
Exactly.
So, but anyway, and we're just talking about Vanderbilt because we all live here and we all have to hear it every day. So,
well, we've got our Vandy preview coming up this week, so we'll get some more insight on how bad that fire might actually be there at Vanderbilt.
Tell them to anchor up.
Because anchoring down didn't work.
Yeah.
All right, guys. With that, we are going to call this podcast done.